Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Nayreet's REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bork from Quito, and joining me today to take a closer look at the outlook for M&A and IPO activity is Gil Mena, co-chair of the REITs and real estate M&A practice at law firm Goodwin. Gil, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sarah.
So I wanted to start by asking you to give an overview, really, of the levels of deal activity we're seeing in M&As and IPOs this year compared to previous years.
It's been light compared to previous years, in large part because last year, in particular, the valuation of the RMZ was anemic. And I'm happy to report that today, as we sit here and talk, it's approaching all-time highs, so we should see some changes. But the REIT market and certain sectors in the REIT market have been off. Normally, that would result in privatization transactions of public companies that are trading at discounts to their net asset value. But we haven't seen a significant amount of activity there as well, because I think that there have been an abundance of private opportunities available for capital that's attracted to the real estate asset class.
And at this point, what would your expectations be for 2020?
Well, in the beginning of the year, I had mentioned during a real estate capital markets conference in January that I was hoping and that the RMZ or the public REIT market index would at least keep pace with or maybe even marginally outpace the S&P 500 index. That was certainly not the case in 2018. I'm happy to report that to date we have seen the RMZ, if that's a good indication, I think it is, of the broader REIT market. I think it's probably the best indication of the publicly traded broader REIT market, outpacing the SPX, the index for the S&P 500, or you can use any other measure of the broader market. So I think that's in large part because we are in a risk-off environment. We've seen a significant pullback in the 10-year Treasury rate, and as a result of that, we have seen equity issuances recently. We saw Blackstone issue over $3 billion of equity capital in Invitation Homes, a company that they sponsored in connection with the public offering, initial public offering of Invitation Homes. And we've also recently seen, even this past week, a REIT raised $750 million of equity capital, VEREIT, V-E-R-E-I-T. So that's just, those are two examples of market activity and upticks in market activity that we're seeing because of the strength in the broader public REIT market relative to other indices.
And do you think that the length of the current cycle is having any impact on activity?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think that we're clearly, in the broadest sense, I don't know, I saw a reference to a survey of economists that predict a recession on the horizon has gone up to about 35% of those polled relative to the prior 2 years, where the number was closer to 15%. So I think in large part there are very many reasons for why one economist or another might think that we were going to be experiencing recession, but the business cycle is also very long here, and we've been in a robust environment since the Great Financial Crisis. Clearly it was not easy coming through that time, but we're on many, many years now in a fairly robust environment. For real estate, I think that we have seen a pullback in lodging, and I always like to look at lodging stocks as a way to look at the broader view, lodging REITs in particular, and also lodging C-Corps as a broader view of the strength of the business cycle. It's not unlike looking at FedEx deliveries or Amazon deliveries for consumer confidence, for example. And we've seen a pullback in lodging stocks. So that would suggest that either there's something fundamental going on, like pop-up hotels that might be competing, right, or Airbnb, or alternatively, we're getting probably long in the cycle, and we're having a pullback because people don't expect to see as much business travel as they have in the past.
And could you talk a bit about the current level of REIT valuations and what effect that's having?
It's definitely sector by sector. So, and it's a tale of, you know, arguably multiple cities, but a tale of various cities. It's one thing to be a cell tower REIT these days, and they have seen almost a doubling in the value of their equity capitalization without any issuances of equity in the last 12 months, and a whole another thing being a shopping center REIT, right? And there are many shopping center REITs. So I think that the valuation question really greatly depends on the sector, and I also think that we're likely to see that continue. So in other words, even if we see a continued strengthening and reaching even higher highs on the RMZ, the REIT index, I think you're likely to still can see that tide is not going to necessarily lift all sector boats, if you will. I do think that we still see some fundamental disruption affecting certain asset classes like shopping centers and malls. I think that will continue. I do think, however, that even for shopping centers and retail assets, I do think that there will be an inflection point. I just don't know when it'll be, where the supply-demand dynamics, taking into account the technological changes in terms of how people are delivering, consumers are delivering their goods to their homes or otherwise obtaining their goods from the shopping experience, I think there will be a point in time where we see a change in the supply and the demand for the need for retail real estate. And as we get closer and closer to that point in time where that supply-demand dynamic is approximating a new equilibrium, I think you might well see private equity capital start to be more interested in that asset class, but probably not in the public market, probably more in a take-private scenario, because they will undoubtedly need to lever those assets up when they become more confident in their future in order to generate the returns that private real estate capital usually is looking for.
And how would you compare the level of activity between the public and the private markets?
In the context of capital flows, we're seeing at Goodwin a continued and significant uptick in interest in joint ventures and private investments in real estate. I know that the Wall Street Journal did an article not long ago on the Wednesday property section that talked about a decline in the amount of foreign capital being attracted to the asset class. I think there's a lot of dynamics there. One of them goes to a point that was made in that article was that there was a sell-side sort of environment by foreign investors in certain of their U.S. real estate holdings. But Blackstone, for example, picked up a very large industrial portfolio in connection with the sale of some of those assets. And one doesn't really know when Blackstone's a buyer, for example, who really owns the funds that are buying the assets in the U.S. So you could have arguably a clear foreign seller, but the buyer, if it's a fund, one doesn't know the identity. So you can't necessarily jump to a conclusion readily that means that there's a sale by a foreigner and a purchase by a U.S. A group of investors. We certainly know that it's Blackstone is a U.S.-sponsored fund, but we don't know who those investors are. But putting that technical point aside or that nuanced point aside, I think that there's still a clear interest, especially as the U.S. And maybe the globe starts to see a pullback in global growth and economic robust environment. There'll still be just as we see a decline in the U.S. Treasury, there will be continued interest in that U.S. real property asset class because it's a secure investment. I do think that the public markets are in a really interesting dynamic. And going back to shopping center REITs, for example, one thing that we're starting to see is more and more institutional investors wanting to do business with platforms that are public. So while the public equity markets might be shut down for certain issuers, notwithstanding what I was mentioning before with respect to Invitation Homes and Verity's recent offering, we know, for example, that shopping center REITs are just having a difficult time and don't want to issue equity at significant discounts to NAV. So the same holds true for office REITs, for example. I think that some of those companies are using their platforms, and they have very strong deployment platforms, and some of them actually have development pipelines or development platforms, to attract foreign programmatic capital to deploy to keep their engines running. And I think we're going to see more and more of that in the years ahead, because I think public REITs have generally woken up to the benefit, and some of them have been very much awake for years and years and years, but others are just waking up to the benefits of attracting private capital to those platforms.
And finally, in terms of IPOs, is it all about niche sectors or having some unique aspect that sets a company apart in order for an IPO to be successful?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I was talking, for example, about where the growth in the RMZ is coming from. And if you talk to an equity capital markets desk, whether it be at any one of the major bulge bracket firms that have a strong real estate investment banking presence, I think you'd come to realize that investors are very much wanting growth in their real estate portfolio. It used to be that people would buy, for example, an office company. I mean, obviously, Paramount Group is a fine example. In 2014, it raised more capital in an IPO than any other issuer in the REIT sector had prior to that point in time. I think with the shoe, it was approximately $2.6 billion of equity for an IPO. That's a lot of equity for an IPO in the REIT market. I think that that transaction, that offering, would be remarkably difficult, if not impossible, to pull off today. And I think that having said that, if in fact the right cold storage company came to market, or the right a digital property oriented company, or cell tower, or technologically oriented real estate platform came to market with significant growth prospects, and even if it was small, I think you would see the market digest that and be very interested in that kind of offering. So I think that's all part of the tale of two or multiple cities that I was referring to before. It goes to both the IPO market, I think, and it also goes to the interest in investors in the various sectors going forward.
Okay, great. Gil, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Sarah.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe or leave a review on iTunes. And if you would like more information on REITs, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com.